Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now that may sound like a weird passage to teach from, but what I want to talk to you about today is the importance of story. The importance of story. You see, everybody has a story. My story begins in South Carolina, where I was born and raised. I was born to a dad who was the church pianist, who you did great today, by the way. It's nice to meet you. And he was also a deacon. And my mom was the church secretary. So I grew up in church. I was there every time the doors were open, and most of the time the doors were closed and locked, I was in the church as well. I spent tons of time in church, me and my two younger brothers. I was born the oldest, and I have two younger brothers. One is a Mac tool salesman, and one is a computer, a programmer. And they still live in South Carolina. I went to high school and played in marching band. I don't know if we have any band geeks in here. Yeah. But I love playing music. Music has always been a part of my life. My dad, like I said, was the church pianist. My mom sang in the choir. I sang in the choir from the time I was about 4 or 5, because my grandparents went to church there too, and I would sit with my grandfather and sing beside him. He sang bass, and a 5-year-old cannot sing bass, if you know anything about people's voices. And so I was singing all high and stuff while he was singing his deep whatever. But music has always been a major, important part of my life. I started playing French horn in the 6th grade and played French horn throughout high school and college, and picked up the guitar when I was in about 10th grade. Learned to play the drums because the church had a drum set but no drummer. So I filled in on that because we had another guitarist. And I learned to play most of the brass instruments that you can play. I have a daughter who plays clarinet. I have a daughter who plays violin. I have a daughter who's taking voice lessons. My son wants to take percussion, and my youngest daughter is trying to teach herself the ukulele. Melissa plays piano and sings, and music is just something that's always been very important to our family. We've led worship for churches throughout the U.S. We've been worship leaders for a church that was a church plant that sang in Spanish. We sang Spanish songs for this church plant. And music has always been part of my story. What can you think of that's always been part of your story? Is there something that's always been there? Maybe there's someone. I met Melissa when we were in college. We went to North Greenville University, which is not north of this Greenville, but is in South Carolina, and it's a Baptist college as well. Or it's a Baptist college, whereas this one's Free Methodist. And we met because of a mission trip. I was a senior and she was a junior at a school that ran about 1,200, so we were in the same program. So we should have met long before that. But we met because of a mission trip to Mexico. And I'd like to say that it was love at first sight, but it was friendship at first sight. We became very good friends over time. and just got to know each other and loved each other as friends, and then it turned into more than that. All of this to say, I have a story. And my story makes up who I am. Music, Melissa, my kids. We got married after she graduated college and moved immediately. A month after we got married, we moved from South Carolina to Fort Worth, Texas, where we both went to seminary. While we were in seminary, we had three kids and graduated and moved and had two more when we moved back to South Carolina, where I worked at a couple of churches. And then we had one more just last year. So we have six kids, and my kids make up a huge part of my life. I wonder what that is for you. I want to get to know you. I want to know the things that drive you, the things that I'm passionate about. Music is something that I'm passionate. I'm also passionate about helping those who are hurting. There's something inside me that is always drawn to people on the margins, people who are struggling to make ends meet, people who are struggling to find their identity, people who are struggling because they know who they are and most people write them off. Those are the people that I'm drawn to. Those are the people that I want to reach out to and offer help and hope and community to. I'm passionate about those things. I'm passionate about history. I'm currently pursuing a PhD in history. That's something that's very important in my life. So all of that to say, I am made up of a lot of different things. I am made up of music and history and compassion and empathy and family and justice. Those things define the core of who I am. Now, I would tell you that it's important that you be able to tell your own story. And it is, but it's also important that you be able to listen to other people's stories. My story is important to who I am, and it lets you get to know me. But also as a pastor, my heart is to get to know your stories. Because it's in getting to know you and the things that have defined you that make you passionate about the things that you're passionate about. It's important that we work on telling our story. It's important that we work on listening to other people's stories. Luke, at the beginning of this gospel, writes out that he has collected and investigated these stories because he wants to make sure they're true. And so he has compiled them for his friend, for this person that he's talking to. The name given is Theophilus. And Theophilus just means friend of God. So many scholars believe that this is not an actual person's name, but it's actually a general letter, a broad letter written out to people who identify themselves as friend of God. Jesus was the master storyteller, was he not? We think about all of the stories that he told, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the story of the widow's mite, of the seed and the sower. All of these stories are important. They all have a purpose and they all have a meaning. Jesus was a master storyteller. He didn't just stand up and ramble about himself as I just did for a little bit. He told stories with a purpose. He told stories that made people think, which is what I think is important about church. It's important that we come together and we think. You see, far too often I think that what happens in church is we come in and we turn our brains off. And we just sit and we listen and we hear a little bit of white noise and the pastor droning on about something, using words that we never hear in any other context. And then we leave and we forget everything that we heard because it's just church. It's just church. It's what we're supposed to do, but it doesn't have any bearing on our life. But if you really listen to the stories Jesus told, if you listen to the stories these gospel writers wrote down, if you listen, they're life-changing. They're challenging. They're incredible, these stories. And they'll challenge you to be different and to be better. I told the story of the Good Samaritan last week. And the Good Samaritan is a story that challenges all of us. Whether we're in a place that we're hurting or whether we're in a place where we have the ability to help. It's always a challenge to us. And so I want to ask you, and maybe you don't know, what is the story of First Baptist Greenville? What's our story? I know that the story here starts in 1836 with two families that wanted to start a Baptist church. What were their stories? Why were they in Greenville? What were they doing? Were they farmers? Were they merchants? What were they doing? I think it's important that we recover our story, recover our history so that we know where we came from. Adoniram Judson is one of my favorite people in history because he was one of the first Baptist missionaries to choose to go overseas and leave everything that he had known behind. Now, was he perfect? By no means. His relationships with his wives and his children were not great. But he worked hard at doing what he believed he was called to do. Translating the Bible into the language of the people of Burma. Adoniram Judson went to Burma, and I'm pretty sure it was 1812, which is only 24 years before this church was founded. And he was the first American missionary to leave the U.S. as a foreign missionary and go somewhere else to teach the Bible. He left as a Congregationalist, as a member of the UCC church that we would call it now. But on the way over, he had a conversion experience and got to India and met a man named William Carey, who was one of the first Baptist missionaries from England, who baptized him and his wife and his friend Luther Rice. And they sent Luther Rice back to the U.S. to raise funds among Baptists because they had left the Congregationalist church that they had been a part of that was going to support them. And now they were going to be Baptist missionaries. Stories are fascinating. Stories are what give us a sense of history. What is the story of First Baptist Greenville? I know the story of First Baptist Greenville includes recently a minister named David Bilyeu. I know that he was a friend and companion and minister to many of you, to most of you. He worked for 14 years in this church, and his fingerprints can be seen all over the place. Now, I don't know how him leaving the church has made you feel. Maybe you're having to grieve because you've lost a friend. Maybe you're grieving because you thought the church had vision and direction, and since he chose to step away, you're wondering what that means for the church. I don't know how you feel, but there is room for grief. There is room for grieving the loss of relationship. And it's important that we do that. It's important that we say, we had a good relationship with this person, with David. And the work that he did here was great. Was he perfect? No. There were things that he did wonderfully. And there were things that he maybe weren't his forte. But we still grieve the loss of that relationship. Because as time changes, relationships change. Pastors move on. We pass away. Things change. It's important that we take the time to grieve properly the loss of David to this church. But it's also important that we take the time to ask ourselves self-reflective questions. What things am I passionate? What is my story? How is God moving in my life that I want to work and live and be passionate about fulfilling what God has called me to? You see, God has called each of us to ministry. It's the work of the pastor, as Paul says in Ephesians, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not the job of the pastor to do all the ministry. It's the pastor's job to equip the saints. That's you. To do this ministry. And what ministry are you going to do? Are you going to be an evangelist? Are you going to go door to door and knock and tell people about Jesus? I don't know, maybe. Probably not. One, not many people are called to that. And two, that doesn't really work anymore because people don't like you coming up cold to their doors. I know I don't. I pretend I'm not home. But what are you called to? Maybe you're called to sing. Maybe you're called to come to the table on Wednesday nights and build relationships with people in the community. Maybe you're called to help with CORE on Monday nights. Maybe you're called to help with Celebrate Recovery. Maybe you're called to help with other ministries in the church, whether it's children or adults or Sunday school or other outreach programs. Maybe you're passionate about something that the church isn't even doing yet. It's my job as the minister, it's the minister's job, whoever is the minister, to equip you to be able to do that work, to tell you how to tell your story and to listen to other stories so that you can engage and relate to people in a way that makes them feel loved and welcomed. Wherever you are in your story, whether you're in a rough spot, I've been there. Most of us have. Not knowing how we're going to pay the next bill, not knowing where we're going to get our next meal from, not knowing if the kids are going to be able to go to the doctor when they need to, which they always seem to need to. Whether you're in a place like that or whether you're in a comfortable place, I want you to know that God is over all of our stories. God is sovereign over all of our stories. God has written our stories in history. And he is telling us how to play it out. I imagine life much like a stage play with God as a director. He knows the story. He knows how he wants it to play out. And we're the actors. Now, we're not the lead actor, that's Jesus. But we're the actors, we're the supporting cast. And God is telling us how to act, how to live. Live with love, live with compassion, live with empathy. Tell your story, because your story is important. Listen to other people's stories, because their stories are important also. Because God is orchestrating it all. And it's important that we remember that, especially when times get tough. Even what the enemy means for evil, God turns it for our good and for his glory. Can you remember that as you go throughout this week? Maybe something good is going to happen this week. It's going to challenge you to be faithful in the good times. Did you know it's just as hard to be faithful in the good times as it is in the bad? When the good times are going, you don't think about God. You don't think about serving. You don't think about helping, because you're comfortable and you want to keep things going status quo, steady, staying the same. It's when the bad times come that we turn to God, isn't it? Well, I want to remind you that in the good times, turn to God as well. Because he wants you to take those good times and bless others with them. So what have I done today? I've told part of my story. I've told about music and Melissa and about justice. And about my kids. I've told about the importance of good storytelling, being able to tell your story well. I've told about Jesus, who is the master storyteller, whose stories challenged and affected everybody that heard them. I've asked, what is the story of First Baptist Greenville? Maybe in the future, we'll have a chance to investigate this story together, to learn more about who we are and what we come from. Talked about David for a minute, because it's important to grieve lost relationships. And finally, reminded us that God is over it all. So what is your story? Where are you in your story? What is God wanting to do for you and with you and through you next? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. At this time, we're going to move into our time of invitation. If you would like to respond in any way, if you would like to follow Christ, if you've never followed Jesus as your Savior, I would love to talk to you about what that means. If you've never been baptized, I would love to have a conversation with you about what it means to be baptized. And if you are looking for a new church home, I would love to invite you to make Greenville First Baptist your church home. A place where you can be loved, where you can feel the compassion of people around you, and a place where you can get plugged in and serve. I'd also like to hear your stories. So, if at any point you feel like you want to reach out, I'm available. I will sit and listen. I'll hear your story. And we'll have fun together, because telling our own story is fun. who we are and sharing who we are is something that we need to get good at, because that's how we build relationships with other people. So I will come down front. Are we going to sing a song? We're going to sing number 619 in your hymnal.